Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is running and debugging dynamic scripting applications under Qix. Today's presenter is Byron Baldwin. Byron is an IDM advisory software engineer who works for Qix, CPSM, Qix Tools, COS Level 2 Support in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Byron joined IBM in 1998 after earning a BS in computer science with a minor in mathematics from Jackson State University in Jackson, MS. He is currently responsible for providing technical support to IBM's worldwide customer base for the Qix, CPSM, Qix Tool products, which run on the COS and VSE operating systems. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Byron.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Good morning, everyone. I would like to first of all say thank you for taking the time to attend this WISDE session. Today's session is Running and Debugging Dynamic Scripting Applications under Qix. In this session, we plan to provide a little background about Project Zero technology. We will also be discussing the installation of the feature pack. Then we will supply information as to running a sample application. Finally, we will discuss debugging issues from a level two perspective. At the end, there will be time allotted for questions. So let's get started. Please proceed to slide 3. Project Zero provides a powerful development and execution platform for modern web applications while at the same time having the overall experience of being radically simple. The Zero platform introduces a new event-driven programming model that is particularly well-suited around dynamic scripting and the development of RESTful services, rich web interface, AJAX, and feeds. The key principles in which the Zero platform is optimized are speed, to assist you in developing applications quickly, simplicity, to ensure applications can be built with the casual ad hoc approach to development characteristics of situational applications, and agility, to ensure it can handle the rapidly changing requirements that are typical to situational projects. Please continue to slide 4. From a Project Zero perspective, the application is the server. When a Project Zero application is started, it has its own port and takes care of all HTTP and database interactions. It is like the infrastructure is an extension of the application. How this is physically applied is that you create an application, add application code, then start the application. That's it. You don't need to package the application and deploy it to a server. The application listens on a specific port and responds to HTTP requests as appropriate. So in the Project Zero architecture, as it exists outside of Qix, each application runs in an individual JVM containing its own complete HTTP stack, language runtimes, and other libraries made available by the platform. When an application receives an HTTP request, the platform fires a sequence of events that can be handled by Java, PHP, or Groovy inside the JVM. The code defines the HTTP response that is sent back to the client. Slide 5, please. Qix has provided a dynamic scripting feature pack that embeds the Zero programming model into CICS on ZOS. This feature pack allows you to quickly construct web applications and enable Groovy and PHP scripts to run inside Kix to handle HTTP requests. This feature allows you to exploit many of the features provided by the Project Zero technology to quickly and easily build custom services and applications around your Kix programs and data. For example, you can expose Kix assets as RESTful services or serve modern Web 2.0 AJAX front-ends for your Kix programs. Dynamic scripting applications consist of scripts and configuration files on the ZFS file system so that they can be deployed quickly and easily to the tools of your choice. Applications running on the feature pack can tightly integrate with existing Kix applications and data. They inherit the strengths of Kix and ZOS, including their quality of service. Slide 6, please. When applied to Kix, the Zero programming model is integrated in Kix instead of using a standalone HTTP stack. Inbound HTTP requests are first received by Kix TCP/IP layer. Using the Kix pipeline infrastructure, the HTTP request trigger works in a Kix JVM, which is initialized with the Project Zero infrastructure. Data from the HTTP request is adapted into the format expected by Project Zero, and the request is processed by normal Project Zero event handlers, including PHP and Groovy scripts. Additionally, because the workload is running in the JVM, the application scripts can interact with Kix assets such as a COBOL or a Java program, temporary storage queues, and BSAM files through the JKix API. Finally, the HTTP response is sent back to the client through the Kix TCP/IP layer. Slide 7, please. There are some limitations and differences between the dynamic scripting and WebSphere Smash, which are listed in the Kix Info Center. Some Project Zero features are not available in Kix dynamic scripting as they are in WebSphere Smash. All JKix APIs are not supported. There are some differences in the HTTP behavior between Kix dynamic scripting and WebSphere Smash on other platforms. Access to DB2 must be serialized per application. Slide 8. When you receive a dynamic scripting product, it is delivered in a zip file, which is installed on the ZOS system. In addition, a repository of modules is hosted on the IBM.com. Once the product is installed, the product consists of Zero command line interface, which include a local repository of modules, as well as a set of Kix resources that are installed in the Kix region. Slide 9, please. The interface to the Project Zero technology implemented in Kix dynamic scripting is the same as with any other implementation via a command line interface. You interact with the application for administrative purposes from a Unix System Services command line. You will need to have a basic understanding of the available Zero commands. These commands allow you to create an application, start the application, stop the application, resolve application dependencies, and much more. Each Zero command runs in its own JVM server and calls Kix resources to be dynamically created. The available Zero commands are different depending upon where issued. If you're in your application directory, you can do commands such as Zero start, Zero stop, and Zero resolve, which go against your application. When outside of your application directory, you can use commands like Zero create to create a new application. Slide 10, please. There are two main configuration files that you will probably need to customize. The 0.config file occurs in every Project Zero module and is in the module's config directory. This configuration file is not specific to Qix, but occurs in every module in every implementation of the Project Zero technology. It contains the port your application will listen on. When your application is created, this port is set to 8080, so it's likely that you will need to change the port. The port specified in the 0.config file will be used in the TCP/IP service definition Qix dynamically creates for your application. The second configuration file is the 0.config file. This is specific to Qix and exists in the Qix Dynamic Scripting installations config directory. The contents of the installation config / 0.config file can be overridden by adding a config / 0.config file to your application's directory. Slide 11, please. Any requested zero commands are run in a JVM server causing Qix resources to be dynamically created. In the case of a zero start, multiple Qix resources, definitions, and configuration files are dynamically created. The resource definition names contain two letters and a six-digit number. The number is maintained in a TSQ 0 JID. Since there may be multiple sets of Qix resources at the same time, but for different zero commands, each set must be unique. The port your application will listen on is taken from the config / 0.config file in your application's directory and placed in TCP/IP service definition. The TCP/IP resource definition will start with the letters TP or TS, depending upon whether you're using SSL or not. The JVM server characteristics will be taken from the configuration from your application's config / 0.config file. Some JVM characteristics can be specified, but some options cannot. The JVM server name will start with the letters JC. A URI map definition is created, which starts with either UP or US, depending upon if you're using SSL or not. It directs all incoming HTTP activity from the port specified in the TCP/IP service definition to your JVM server. The URI map definition does not point directly to your JVM server, but points to the pipeline definition, which starts with PI, whose corresponding pipeline configuration file specifies a handler that directs all activity to your JVM server. Slide 12, please. When Qix starts the JVM running under control of your JVM server resource, Qix needs to know the JVM's characteristics. As with other JVMs in Qix, the characteristics of the JVM are specified in the JVM profile. This JVM server profile is dynamically created for you and placed in the JVM profile DIR specified in the system initialization parameters. The contents of the JVM profile are built from the command line generated by zero scripts, information in 0.config JVM profile section, the 0 applications resolve .properties file dynamically created Java system properties defined for use by Java code are the work underscore dir parameters set to app underscore home. A profile configuration file used by the pipeline resource is placed in your application's 0/private/kicks directory. It contains the JVM server ID and a handler. The name of the handler is 0.kicks.kicksadapter. Note that all resource definitions and configuration files that are dynamically created are also dynamically removed when the JVM server is shut down. However, you can set an environmental variable, kicks underscore debug on, to tell kicks to leave some of the configuration files and files containing details about the actions that were taken. Slide 13, please. Each dynamic scripting application has a standard directory structure. There are specific directories available for specific types of artifacts. For example, the default location for HTML page is in your application's public directory. All of these directories, both standard or optional, are documented in the Project Zero documentation. The /app/errors directory is for error templates. The /app/resource is where RESTful resources are located, the PHP and Groovy scripts. The /app/views is where the Groovy templates are found. The /config/0.config is the runtime configuration for Smash. The /public is the base directory for HTML pages. Slide 14, please. One of the main things to remember is that a zero application is an event-based system. All of the key behavior of the system is exposed to the application as a set of events with the appropriate event state. Application developers mainly provide a set of handlers that hook into a well-known system event to archive the desired application behavior. Common events that most application developers use, like providing a response to a GET request to a URI or when an application is started, are provided. Event handlers are stateless blocks of functions that handle the events. Events are identified by the event name, such as GET or log. Event handlers indicate an interest in handling a particular event under a particular condition. Events in the Zero platform are ways to orchestrate behavior in the form of loosely coupled event handlers. Zero fires a fixed set of events for HTTP requests, processing, and stages of the application life cycles. Developers may add other event types. The application programming model is event-based, so the event handler can be written in Groovy, PHP, or Java, running in a browser or on a server on the server side. Slide 15, please. Let's now take a look at the RESTful service can be implemented using the Project Zero programming model. Each PHP or Groovy script placed in the /app/resource directory of the Project Zero application is automatically treated by the platform as a RESTful handler for the category of resources or a resource collection. The name of the script represents the name of the collection. The script contains the logic to execute when processing inbound HTTP requests for that resource, separated into functions with well-defined names. The function that is invoked depends on the URI and the HTTP method of the inbound HTTP request. The URI pattern is a convention used to identify which collection to access based upon the URI of the inbound HTTP request. If the URI contains just a collection name, the operation is targeted at the whole collection. If a member ID is specified in the URI after the collection name, the operation is targeted at the individual member of the resource collection. Optionally, additional information can be specified after the member ID. This table shows an example with the resource collection called people. The URI column shows two different kinds of URIs that can be used to interact with instances of the resource. The collection URI, which ends with the collection name, in this case, people, and the member URI, which is an identifier for the individual person, is specified, in this case, the name John. We can see how a requested URI combined with an HTTP method triggers an event such as list, create, retrieve, update, or delete. These events are sometimes referred to as LCRUD events. By convention, the Project Zero platform searches for handlers for these events in the /app/resource directory. If this script provides an implementation of the function corresponding to the event, that function is invoked to handle the request. Therefore, you can develop a RESTful service simply by creating a single script and implementing the set of LCRUD functions that you need. The platform takes care of the mapping inbound requests to your logic by following a set of RESTful conventions. Slide 16. To see how to interface with Kix, the PHP interpreter used in the Kix dynamic scripting is implemented in Java. There is a bridge from PHP to Java. This allows you to access many Java functions such as the JKix classes. The bridge also allows you to instantiate data objects that can be passed to the Java functions. In the case of invoking a Kix program using a COM area interface, we need a way to construct the series of bytes that makes up a COM area. To do this, we can use classes from JSOS product or Wizards in Rational Application Developer, better known as RAD. JSOS is supplied with the SystemZ Java implementations. The JSOS Java classes allow you to perform many ZOS-specific functions such as reading a POS or a VSAM PDF or a VSAM file. One of the functions of JSOS is to generate a Java class that corresponds to a data structure in a high-level language such as COBOL. As illustrated, you can compile your COBOL program with the ADATA compiler option. The results of the ADATA compiler option can be input into JSOS classes that generate a Java equivalent of the data structure. There are getter and setter methods that correspond to the fields in the data structure, plus a get byte method that allows you to get a series of bytes that correspond to the data structure. After the Java classes that correspond to the data structure that represent the COM area are generated, you can instantiate the Java classes in your PHP program, invoke setters on the Java object to provide data such as set employee ID, then pass the data object to the JKeeks link request. Slide 17, please. This slide illustrates a PHP script that links to a program using a COM area. We would have to compile the target KIKS program employee in this case with the ADATA compiler option. We would have to use the ADATA information representing the COM area of the employee program as input to JSON classes to generate a Java object that represents the COM area, which would be called com.mycompany.employee_com area, or whatever name we wish to use. In this example, we use a new Java request to get an instance of the class that represents the employee program com area. We then invoke methods on the class to set values. The example invokes the set employee number method. After data values are set in the object that represents the com area, we create a new program object and use the setName method to indicate the program we are referring to has a name of employee. We then invoke the link method of the KIKS program object, passing the byte array that represents the COM area. When the getters in the data object to obtain the information returned by the employee program in the COM area. Slide 18, please. Like the link example on the previous slide, we have created a KIKS Java data binding that represents the layout of a vSAM file. We have again used the Java bridge to allow us to use the JKIKS classes. We are reading a KSDS file, so we can instantiate a KSDS object and set it to the name of the vSAM file in which we will interact. We create a record holder and pass it to KIKS on the read method along with the record key. Slide 19, please. At this time, we will start to discuss the installation process. Slide 20. Now let's review how to install the KIKS Dynamic Scripting Feature Pack. First, there are a few prereqs that must be in place. You must be running ZOS version 1, release 9 or later. You must be running KIKS TS 4.1 with the APARs mentioned above applied. You must be running Java 6 service release 8 or higher, and if your application will be connecting to DB2, you must be running DB2 version 9.1 with APAR PK71020 applied. Please note that the KIKS Dynamic Scripting Feature Pack is not supported in CICS 4.2. You must be running CICS TS 4.1. Slide 21, please. First, you must download the zip file and FTP it to ZFS. Next, expand the zip file to create the KIKS and the zero directory structures using the jar command. Then configure the Unix environment variables. This can be done manually via the command line or via a script. Make sure that you use the correct symbols for your code page. The dollar symbol is a suitable for code page 037 or 1047. Slide 22, please. Next, exmit the output file xdfhrpl to the KIKS region, copy the data set, and add it to dfhrpl. These steps will create five program definitions. Zero serve, which acts as the main service used by the feature pack to create and manage Kicks Resources, Zero Disk, which disables and discards the Kicks Resources when the application stops. Zero QUIE, which disables and discards application resources when the application stops. Zero Life, which monitors the status of the Unix processes that call into Kicks. And Zero INQJ, which inquires on the Java of the JVM server status. All the required resources are supplied in the DFH$0 group. Slide 23, please. The next step is to create a Unix group for the feature pack and set the required permissions for the Zero directory so Kicks and the CLI users have read and write access to them, then create a directory for the dynamic scripting applications and set permissions. Slide 24, please. Configure Kicks to use LE370 by adding the necessary modules to the step live and RPL. Specify the necessary SIT options, ISC and IRCSTRT equal yes to connect to Kicks using EXCI, TCPIP equals yes to enable web support in Kicks, JVM profile DLR to specify where to create the JVM server profile. Add the Kicks resource definition using DFH CSDUP to create the DFH$0 group and install it. Customize the zerokicks.config file. If you wish to set up security, configure Kicks accordingly. Slide 25, please. It is now time to test your dynamic scripting environment. In this example, we'll be running an employee demo. So first add the base smash samples to the Kicks repository. Next, you will create application directory structure in app_home. Resolve the application that the directory using the zero resolve command. Since this application will be using a directory, Derby by default, to maintain the employee data, you must set up the databases. An SQL script is supplied in setup_db.sql that will create the employee table and insert two records into it. Next step, the port number in the 0.config file and the app and start the application. Slide 26, please. When you browse the URL, you'll get the following, which shows the two employee records that were inserted. Notice the four buttons along the bottom that allow you to manage the employees' records. Slide 27, please. Our demo application consists of two event handlers located in /app/resource directory. Employees.groovy, which provides the following methods: on list, on create, on retrieve, on update, and on delete. Location.groovy provides just one method specific to the location settings for our application, which is on list. Please note that the sample uses a database to store the employee records, but could have easily used a Kicks resource such as a TSQ or a vSAM file. Slide 28. At this time, we are moving into the debugging portion of this presentation. We'll provide some background on a number of known issues and their resolutions, and techniques to obtain and send documentation into level 2 for assistance. slide 29, please. On this slide, there is a troubleshooting dock that we point to. You can use that URL to take a look at some of the troubleshooting techniques that are used. Here we also list a number of different things, including encoding issues, in which we know that you can run into as problems when using the Kix Dynamic scripting feature. Slide 30, please. Dynamic scripting is primarily a UTF-8 platform that runs in an ECDC environment. You must edit text files in the correct format and write application code that converts data between bytes and character data correctly. Please note, English characters are the same in UTF-8, ASCII, and ISO 8859-1. Slide 31, please. The dynamic scripting is basically a UTF-8 platform running in an ECDC system. Many common Western characters have the same byte value representation in all ASCII-compatible character sets. Code that is tested only on ASCII platforms and only with such characters as input might ignore the issue of enforcing a specific encoding in all byte string conversion. If the code assumes an ASCII character set will be used, it may behave unexpectedly when running in an ECDC environment. So please keep this information in mind while you're doing your development in your shop. Slide 32, please. Never rely on the Java default character sets. In Java, if no character set is specified on a byte, string conversion, a platform-specific default is used. The default can be overridden with the file encoding systems property, but some JKIX library APIs require that the default is left unchanged. Therefore, dynamic scripting apps run on JVMs that default to ECDC. But note, many third-party Java libraries assume they are running JVMs that default to ASCII. Slide 33. The feature pack encodes all files in UTF-8 on ZOS Unix. Similarly, all files read from ZOS Unix, including PHP and Groovy script files, Java source files, static HTML files, JSON data files, and configuration files are expected to be encoded in UTF-8. Slide 34, please. When a dynamic scripting problem occurs, there's a required amount of documentation needed for Level 2 to investigate the problem. Please note the zero Kix, zero serve, and the Kix message logs are must-have information to assist in the resolution of your problem. Slide 35, please. This slide shows that Level 2 may require a bit more documentation than provided initially. Kix support may require turning on the Kix_debug in dynamic scripting to obtain more detail about your problem. It is recommended not to activate the Kix_debug option unless requested by Level 2 support. Please note all information mentioned about what documentation is needed is documented in the must-gather URL referenced above. Slide 36, please. At this point in the presentation, I'll discuss a few problems that we've encountered on dynamic scripting feature. The first problem is after installing the Kix dynamic scripting feature, the customer is unable to run the zero create command. The customer is receiving the CWPZI 8403 e-message. This particular problem was resolved by applying the LEPTF UK28989 for APAR PK51216. Slide 37, please. The next problem was creating a sample suggestion box application when the customer entered the line command 0 model sync, he received the following messages: CWPZC 9021 easy, CWPZT 0601 easy, and CWPZI 8503I. To resolve this issue, the customer copied all the files to his desktop for editing, then FTP'd them back to Unix in binary and was able to run the 0_model_sync command successfully. Slide 38, please. This issue the customer encountered the DFH AP 1600 with the reason of create_JVM_failed. The 0 kicks log showed the following messages mentioned above. In this, we found that the customer was attempting to start the debugger in both the JVM server options as well as in the overrides. The solution is if the customer was directed to run the debugger, they will need to remove one of the options to ensure that it is only loaded once, which will not cause the shortage of memory. As stated earlier, it is suggested the customer should only run the debug option if directed by support in order to fix a problem. Slide 39, please. In this particular problem, the customer was a 0 help command fails. And it failed with an exception in the thread for thread 5. This missing method in the wrapper class should have been in the DFJ kicks.jar file, which was added by APAR PM 08661, which had a fixing PTF of UK 57701. The problem is with the KIX SMP setup, the 2 DD defs for SDFJH 008 and SDFJ 017 were incorrect. In order to correct this issue, please follow directions in the solution provided above. Slide 40, please. Slide provides information as to validate if the customer can connect to the database using the 0 command line utility before looking into the problems of connecting from application code. The steps described above will provide the information level 2 would need to verify connection to the databases. Once the documentation is obtained, please use the directions mentioned earlier to send the documentation in for review. Slide 41, please. As noted, the dynamic scripting feature pack requires access to configured code repository to be able to function. IBM provides a repository on the internet, although it may not be accessible from your mainframe. Firewalls may block direct access to the internet, for example, or the domain name server might not be configured to allow access to external sites. Another variation of this error is when a customer may receive the java.net.unknown host exception. If opening an HTTP port from the mainframe to either the IBM repository or another server is not possible, you may still proceed. Please note, we have included the sample of the ISPF edit command to change the repository location. Slide 42, please. The following errors may occur when you install the feature pack or create a test application. If you type the zero command and an error occurs, you have not set up the zero library in your Unix System Services environment. Confirm you have set up correct JDK path, zero library path, and the steplive path in a shell script and execute it in the correct way. Above, we have provided a sample for the shell script to accomplish the task. Slide 43, please. Perhaps you written a zero command and received an exci error. In order to resolve the documented issue, you will need to follow the steps provided above. Slide 44, please. If you type in a zero command and the response is shown occurs, you have not upgraded your CSD with the Kix Dynamic Feature Pack. Please ensure to install Kix Dynamic Feature Pack on CICS 4.1. Slide 45, please. The command line interface uses EXCI to connect to Kix regions. Each time a command runs, the feature pack creates a JVM server to handle the work in Kix. This JVM server exists until the command completes. If you have problems with the command line interface, you might not have the correct authority to access EXCI or create resources in Kix. To determine why zero command is failing, turn on debugging to produce extra messages. You receive the EXCI errors when you run the command line interface commands. First, we introduce the general debug process for command line interface problems. Every zero command in the feature pack requires a Kix region. Response 8 reason 203 indicates no Kix condition. For example, the Kix region could not be found. You can determine which Kix region the feature pack is using by noting the Kix underscore Apple ID. If the Kix region is correctly specified, verify the following conditions are verified. One, the Kix region is an EXCI connection. Two, the EXCI connection is in service. Three, the EXCI connection has a net name. Four, the net name matches the Kix net name. Five, IRC is started in the Kix region. Slide 46, please. You type a command, but it hangs without any response, you might receive a message from the member JS message log of the Kix log. The DFH AP1500 message shows that the time of the Kix region is not synchronized with the system time of ZOS. The reason might be because the system time of the ZOS is reset. You must synchronize them with the CMT perform reset command on your Kix region. Slide 47, please. If you enter a zero start command and the response shown above occurs, you did not execute the command under the directory of the dynamic scripting application. You must go to the application directory and execute it again. Slide 48, please. If you type a zero start command and the response above occurs, the zero command was unable to communicate with your Kix region. Please review the following reasons. Verify the group of zero resources has not been installed on your Kix region, issue CETA install group DFH dollar zero from your Kix region. Inter-system communication is not started. Ensure that you have modified your SIP parameters in your Kix region that it is running, and your Kix region is not started. Check it and start it. Slide 49, please. If you get the response shown, the resource TCP/IP service is not created successfully because port number 01111 cannot be opened. Determine whether this port is already used by a previously installed TCP/IP service with the CMT inquire TCP/IP-S command. Update the new port and try to start the application again. If it still fails, followed by the same error message about the port number, execute a zero stop command to clear the application in advance and then try to start it. Please note, the command line interface commands can access Kix, but you are experiencing errors. Use CEDX on the zero transaction to diagnose the problem. You can use CEDX to confirm that the zero transaction can run in the Kix region and determine which command is failing. Slide 50, please. Slide 50 is just a list of a few more known issues and their documented resolutions to assist in troubleshooting your dynamic scripting environment. So you can just use these and take a look at them, and when you actually encounter anything, these will help you to resolve those issues that are listed above. Slide 51, please. In summary, Project Zero provides a robust environment for situational reports, dashboards, and web feeds. The integration in Kix allows to run unmanaged PHP and WebSphere Smash applications in Kix. Dynamic Scripting uses Kix TS version 4.1 JVM server technology. It easily expose Kix assets with RESTful interfaces, tightly coupled with Kix environment, allowing access to conventional Kix resources, programs, data, etc. We discussed in detail required documentation and common issues from a level 2 perspective. I would like to thank everyone for attending this presentation. Slide 52, please. This page provides a list of wonderful resources you can use to gain more knowledge about Kix Dynamic Feature Pack, the Project Zero technology, and some sample applications for Kix Dynamic Scripting. At this particular point in time, I'm going to turn it back over to Joseph.
Thank you, Byron, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Oh, we do have one. Steve Baugh, your line is open.
Yes, it was mentioned that support pack, or this feature pack is not supported yet in 4.2 of CSCSTS. I was wondering if it is going to be supported, and if so, if there's a projected availability date on that.
Right now, Steve, we don't have an answer for that. I would just say go out and continue to look out for when that will be available, because we have no directive on when it will be available for 4.2.
Okay, so that being the case, then this feature pack really is probably primarily for pilot projects and things of that nature, not for production applications. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, for 4.1, you'll be able to run it, but not for the 4.2. So I'm not sure I'm really following your question here.
Well, I'm just saying that it's hard to commit to making an application production if not knowing when or even if it's going to be supported in future releases.
Okay. Well, I can agree with that logic, yes. So,
okay.
I mean, but I can't make a definitive statement concerning that. If you wouldn't mind, send me an email offline, and we can kind of discuss this further, or we can see if we can find some answers to your questions.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
All right.
We have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.